Chappy, Hari.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Acharya Astotra Sathashishimani Sivan Krishna Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishnava Rind Ki Jai Namachari Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsa Gaoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakti Rind Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinav Sharma Gundrad Kun Ki Riko Vadan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Yamuna Devi Ganga Devi Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Vrihatan Danga Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Yagi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakti Rinda Ki Jai Janita Gopra Nandi Yavi Yoko O glorious to the Assembled Devotees Hare Krishna O glorious to the Assembled Devotees Hare Krishna O glorious to the Assembled Devotees Hare Krishna all glories to the Lotus Feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga O glorious to Sri Prabhupada Hare Krishna Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya
Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Okay, so we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll actually read text number 199 together, but we're actually going from 196 to 199, so I'll just read verse 196, 197, 198, then we'll chant 199 together. I won't read the Bengali, but just the English. So text 196. This chapter, by the way, is entitled Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. Okay, so it's 196. Although the Brahmana was fasting, he had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted food. In this way, his life was saved. Text number 197. After thus assuring the Brahmanas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded further into southern India. And finally arrived at Durvashana, where he bathed in the river Kritamala, purple. Presently, the Kritamala River is known as the river Vagai or Vagai. This river has three tributaries named Surali, Varaha Nadi, Ambatila Gundu. The river Kritamala is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 5, text number 39, by the sage Karabaja, text number 198. Adurvashana Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra, and on the hill known as Mahendra Shaila, he saw Lord Parashuram. Purple. In Durvashana or Dabashayana, now known as Tirupulani, which is 7 miles east of Ramnath, there is a temple of Lord Ramachandra. The hill known as Mahendra Shaila is near Tirunelveli, and at the end of this hill is a city known as Tiruchendu. West of Mahendra Shaila is a territory of Tribankura. There is mention of Mahendra Shaila in the Ramayana. Okay, so text 199. Setubande Ashi Kaila Danushtiyate Snana Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishrama Setubande Ashi Kaila Danushtiyate Snana. Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishrama.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishrama.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Shnana.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Shnana.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishrama.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishrama.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Snana.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Snana.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishrama.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishrama.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Snana.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Snana.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Snan.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishram.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishram.
Vaishnavis.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Snan.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishram.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Snan.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishram.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishram.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Snan.
Setu Bande Ashi Kaila Danus Tiete Snan.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishram.
Rameshvara Deki Tahan Karila Vishram.
Setu Bande Ashi, coming to Setu Banda. Kaila Dit Danuhutiyate Snan, bathing at the holy place named and known as Danus Tiete. Rameshvara Deki, visiting the holy place Rameshvara. Tahan, there. Karila Vishrama,
Karila Vishrama,
took rest. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Setubandha, Rameshwara. where he took his bath at the place called Dhanustirtha. From there he visited the Rameshwara temple and then took rest. The path from Madapam through the ocean to the island known as Pambam consists partly of sand and partly of water. The island of Pambam is about 17 miles long and 6 miles wide. On this island, 4 miles north of Pambam harbour, is Setubandha, where the temple of Rameshwara is located. This is the temple of Lord Shiva, and the name Rameshwara indicates that he is a great personality whose worshipable deity is Lord Ram. Thus, the Lord Shiva found in the temple of Rameshwara is a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. It is said, Devi Patanam Arabya Gache Yuhu Setu Bandhanam. After visiting the temple of the goddess Durga, one should go to the temple of Rameshwara. In this area, there are 24 different holy places, one of which is Dhanustirtha, located about 12 miles southeast of Rameshwara. It is near the last station of the South Indian Railway, a station called Ramnath. It is said that here, on the request of Ravana's younger brother, Vibhishan, Lord Ramachandra destroyed the bridge to Lanka with his bow while returning to his capital. It is also said the one who visits Dhanustirtha is liberated from the cycle of birth and death, and the one who bathes there gets all the fruitive results of performing the yajna known as Agnishtoma. Okay, so please repeat after me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Setubandha, Rameshwara, where he took his bath at the place called Dhanustirtha. From there, he visited the Rameshwara temple and then took rest. Yananjana Shilakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakata Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sacha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosvate Tapta Kamchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so this chapter of Madhya Lila is entitled Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. And in the purple, Prabhupada is describing the area, and in these verses, or a few verses, or well over 100 verses, Lord Chaitanya's travels are being described. So there's many interesting things that we can discuss, many points which are brought up in the verse and in the purple. So it says here that Lord Chaitanya came and he took his bath at a place called Dhanustirtha. First of all, there's the entire conception that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is performing the activities of a devotee. So what's being described here is pilgrimage. The movement and the visit to various holy places, various temples. In the life of the Lord, everything that he does is instructive and everything he does is significant, because this whole pastime of Lord Chaitanya's descent is Krishna becoming as what? Bhakti avatar. He's the Lord coming as a devotee with a specific mission. So in his activities, he is also demonstrating to us how we can achieve the same mission for which he has come. He wants to experience Krishna Prema. He is the Lord, so actually he has full experience. But he wants to experience from the purview or from the position of being a devotee. So, just as he is going here, Prabhupada says in this purport, in this area there are 24 different holy places. We can also begin by understanding something of the significance of the Dharma. Because it's very interesting, here it is said, so when Lord Ramachandra, when the Lord comes to Danusthita, Prabhupada writes, it is also said, the one who visits Danusthita is liberated from the cycle of birth and death. How does this work? There are two aspects of the Lord's holy places. There is a Dham and there is a Tirtha. Technically, Dham is a place of the Lord's residing. Tirtha is a place of the Lord's activities or pastimes. So, every holy place is imbued with spiritual energy. Not just the, we could say the classical holy places of Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, but actually, if it is properly understood, every single temple is also a holy place. This is also a Dham. But, and this is what the caveat, as is said here, one who visits is liberated from the cycle of birth and death. There's a small print. Sometimes scripture is like that. There are certain things in the Shastra which are distinctly meant for the Kanishtha Adhikari, to give encouragement. There are some statements in Shastra which are distinctly meant for the Madhyam Adhikari. And there are some statements in Shastra which are fully only understood by the Uttama Adhikari. Here it says that you can get liberation from the cycle of birth and death from visiting Damastirtha. Where have we heard something like this before? Nectar of instruction, just by bathing in Radhakund, right? One attains love of Krishna, right? But the small print is that you have to do it in a particular consciousness. So the Shastra is like that. That's why Shastra is actually explained ultimately by the devotee. This pastime, there's a surrounding event to this pastime. I was just looking over the prior verses and the later verses. So there is this Brahmana, I think you've been reading recently, and he's disturbed in hearing about how the demon Ravana was able to touch Sita Devi, the goddess of fortune. And Lord Chaitanya in the previous verses is explaining to him how actually that was not a real form of Sita. Right? When Ravana appeared, Sita was removed by Agni. Right? And then the Maya Sita form was there. And only the Maya Sita form was actually taken by Ravana. Right? Now, in the later verses to where we're reading now, Lord Chaitanya, he comes across the Kona Purana, which explains this, and then he will then give that same Kona Purana to this Brahmin, and you know, who feels great joy in having this Shastric evidence. But prior to giving him the scripture, he explains it to him. He says, don't worry, actually, she wasn't taken, she was never touched by Ravana, etc., etc. And this verse that we read first, number 196, it says here that although the Brahmin was fasting, he had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted food, because he was fasting. Right? So we want to deal with this concept first. Faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Faith is much more powerful than is generally understood. Right? It's not just a nice thing to have for the devotee. It actually has tremendous relevance to our spiritual progress. It is said in Shastra that faith gives virya, which means strength or drive, and it gives smriti, remembrance. Right? There are so many subtleties to the science of Krishna consciousness. I was reading around the concept or the principle of spiritual strength recently. And some very nice seminars which are dealing with this topic. And one of the points which is mentioned, this is a lecture series, seminar series that was given by Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, Gandicha Maharaj, and he gave it at the manor. And he was mentioning this point. Because as devotees, when we're trying to make progress in spiritual life, we hear what the standard is. Right? But following the standard, that is something different. Right? there's a standard and then there's where we are. And we're trying to come up to the standard. And then you have Prabhupada, who's constantly telling us about the importance of his books and about the importance of hearing in the association of devotees. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Shri Shri Goni Thai Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Why? Prabhupada says faith comes from hearing. But there's even more to it than that. When we read Prabhupada's books, it affects the consciousness in a particular way. As we said, faith gives virya and smriti. Smriti means remembrance. And specifically, it is explained that it gives the ability to hold the meaning of Shastra within one's consciousness. That means it actually gives the ability to take the knowledge that's given in Shastra and to hold it within the consciousness to the point that we can live it, that we can act upon it. Right? You could imagine it's like, I think I have sometimes Air Force called fly paper, right? Some kind of sticky paper. Someone flies around, they land on it, they can't move, they're stuck. Right? So there are certain aspects of our spiritual practice that makes the mind very almost like magnetized, so that the meaning of the scripture is held within the consciousness. Right? But even actually, in one sense, even more than the reading is the hearing. Prabhupada says hearing is more important than reading. Right? There's a statement where Prabhupada says that. Right? Why? Because in hearing the association of devotees, one can get clarification. In addition to that, the sound vibration of a devotee carries the realization of that particular person. A while ago, I was listening to a seminar series, and it was on Vrindavan Mahimamrita. That's the point. Prabodhananda Sarasvati. And an interesting point was being made by the speaker of how we attain love of Krishna. And it is explained that when we hear from a devotee who has that strong love, that strong attachment to Krishna, by hearing, right, from such a person, that same feeling, that same attachment also enters into our heart. Right? So on the one hand, you have the qualification of the person who's speaking. Right? But there is another side to the equation. The other side of the equation is the receptivity of the hearer. Right? That's the other side of the equation. And then the question comes, is how do we become receptive so we can fully receive what is being given? Right? And the answer is Guru Padashraya. Right? By strict adherence to the order of the spiritual master, one develops the receptivity so when one hears in such qualified association, one will also gain that attachment. So these two things are there, the higher association and the higher degree of receptivity. So as it's being said here, or as it's being demonstrated here, in verse 196, we had this Brahmana who had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Now, we can take this into contemporary life. So Prabhupada, one of his godbrothers, had a very interesting thing to say about Prabhupada. He said that all of us read in the Shastra that this holy name would be spread in every town, every village, right? But only your Prabhupada really believed to the extent that we see he manifests this entire international society. Right? So there is a symptom of such faith. Right? If we truly believe what we are hearing, then we act on it. And this is what's being seen here. It seems very simple thing. The Brahmana was fasting. He had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore he accepted food. That's what this verse is saying. That means he accepted to the extent that he did something. There's a symptom of faith and really understand what's being said, and that means we do something, we act, we follow specifically. And by following, the particular result is given. And we see almost like a progression here. First he heard the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later he would also receive Shastric evidence. There's an interesting statement that I wanted to read, if I can find it in my notes. This is an aside, so we won't go too much into it. But it's this point which is made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Tattva Viveka. Okay. And he explains that Shastra is a principle of understanding, surrendering, and serving Krishna. Right? Because first you have the statement of the Lord, then you have the Shastric evidence that's being given here. And he explains that actually the statements of the self-realized Acharya is actually superior. Right? Is actually superior even to the statements of Shastra. Right? Although obviously that Acharya is always speaking also on the basis of Shastra. So this is explained, that the fine points are explained. Because some of the details of Shastra will not be relevant at a particular time, place, and circumstance. An example that's given is that Narada Muni says that the Brahmachari should sleep outside on the floor. Right? So we don't see the Brahmachari sleeping outside of the temple, right, on the floor. Right? But that's a detail. The principle is that they should be a menial servant of their own guru. Right? So therefore, the Acharya is able to pinpoint and to bring out the principle as opposed to the detail. What is the principle? What is the detail? How to understand the difference that is being brought out in that sense. Anyway, that's one point that we could bring out from this pastime. Let's look at some other things which are mentioned here. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya is visiting the temple of Lord Shiva, and Prabhupada explains that it's interesting. He says, thus the Lord Shiva found in the temple of Rameshwara is a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. There are actually different forms of Shiva. Right? And so, for example, there is a forearm Vaikuntha form of Shiva called Sadashiva. Right? And then there are other forms of Shiva, Rudra forms, etc., etc. Even it is explained by some acharyas that Duvasa Muni is considered to be a partial expansion of Lord Shiva. And that some commentaries say that he's a Shuddha Vaishnava, he's a pure devotee. And that when he gets angry, when his pastimes of anger take place, it is there to invoke the Lord's particular pastimes, you know, the Lord's coming. Okay, that's an aside. So again, sometimes when people don't know the philosophy, yes, Lord Shiva did this, Lord Shiva did that, but which Lord Shiva? Right? Which Lord Shiva is being spoken about here? Right? The Shastra is so simple and also continuously and simultaneously so detailed. Right? Because even the Lord in different pastimes, or in different kalpas, performs slightly different pastimes. There are different variations of the same pastime. It's not actually that Lord Buddha, whenever he comes to establish ahimsa. That's not actually the case. In different kalpas, he has a different mission. Right? But we generally hear, yes, when Lord Buddha comes, he comes to establish ahimsa and non-violence. So all of these things are there. So again, when we're hearing the association, then these fine details can be brought out as we understand them. Let's continue. A few other points which are here. Okay, so this last statement that comes here in this purport, it says, one who bathes there, and he's talking about Danus Theatre, gets all the fruitive results of performing the yajna known as Agni Stoma. So we hear about this sometimes, this idea of fruitive results in scripture. Right? And it seems contradictory. Because first of all, we know that Bhagavatam is for the Paramahamsas. Right? So what is the purpose of speaking about fruitive results? We know in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says the last instruction is the most important. 1866, Sava Dhamma Parityaja, Mamikam Sharanam Bhaja, Aham Tvam Sava Papebhyo, Moksha Yeshama Masucha. But throughout that same Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking about Jnana Yoga. He's speaking about Karma Yoga, along with Bhakti Yoga. Why are such things mentioned? Because out of the Lord's mercy, the different mentions of different yoga systems are meant to attract different levels of personality, right? And bring them ultimately to the topmost realization, which is pure devotional service to Krishna. So for example, in the beginning of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about the Karma Yogi, right? And he says, but if the results of one's activity are not offered in service to the Lord, that leads to what? Karma Bandhana. Right? You become attached, bonded. You become bound to the material energy. He speaks about the Jnana Yogi. But then he says, Bahunam Jamanamante, Jnana. How's it begin? He said the jnani after many lifetimes of cultivating Gyan Yoga, he understands Vasudeva Sadhan Iti, and then he says such a great devotee, such a great soul is very rare. So even the Gyan Yogi, after many lifetimes of cultivating knowledge, is meant to come above that to understand that Krishna is everything. And so even if someone is performing such activities for a fruitive result, what's the benefit? What is the system that's being accessed? The system is the system of accepting authority. Specifically, the system of accepting Shastric authority. And as you connect with the Shastra at a particular point, right? Here, for example, someone may hear about this. If I bathe in this Dhanushtirtha, I will get all the fruitive results. Right? But they're doing it on the basis of Shastra. And as they get, as they come into contact more of the Shastra, this same Shastra is going to tell them, but why do you want fruitive results? Why simply get a temporary result for your effort when by your effort you can actually come higher and get more than a temporary result? You can ultimately become free of birth and death and also ultimately understand and realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In relation to this idea of accepting the principle of Shastra and faith, I'm going to say something that, which is an aside, but I think is relevant and useful in the association of Vaishnavas. So, in all of these different scriptures, and as we're reading, for example, about pilgrimage, and we do pilgrimage, Prabhupada sometimes explains that when we go to the holy theatres or to the dharms, we go there for what? What are we seeking in that particular place?
Purification.
Purification. Anything else?
Service.
Anything else?
Association.
Yeah. Remember the Lord's pastimes, especially Prabhupada sometimes emphasizes association, right? We are going there for the association of great devotees who reside there. Now, there are those devotees who reside there that we see, and there are also those devotees who do reside in those holy dharms, in those places of pilgrimage, who we can't necessarily see, but they're present. There's a science of why we actually progress. This is one of the things I wanted to bring out from this verse in purple. In Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 15, text number 28, Prabhupada makes a very wonderful statement. He says, the blessings of the spiritual master are even more powerful than one's endeavor for such advancement. Right? When we hear statements about how we are engaging in devotional service, one of the most powerful things to always remember is that we are always dependent. Right? The quality of our service and also the level of advancement of a devotee is not, and I repeat, is not due to their effort, primarily. Right? The effort must be there, but the effort is to get mercy, and the actual advancement of a devotee is actually due to the mercy of others. Right? Very important. 8th canto, chapter 15, text number 28. You can read that statement. There are other statements in other places. This, around this pastime, and as is explained here, Prabhupada is mentioning different points from he's mentioning Ramayana. And there's a letter in which Prabhupada states that the reason why Hanuman and the monkeys were able to defeat Ravana was because they were relying on Daivi Shakti, right? The spiritual energy, whereas Ravana and his army, they were relying on the material, their karma, their material ability. Right? So if we understand that we're dependent, right, then we know that actually the real benefit of our devotional practice will come as we are receiving the mercy of the Vaishnavas. I was recently we were on a mentorship retreat at Buckland Hall. So on the journey there, I was speaking to Sachinanda Maharaj, and he mentioned this point, which is why I thought it would be interesting to share, because it kind of opened up like a whole new way of seeing devotional service. So he was explaining this point about how this we advance primarily by the mercy, right, of the devotees, and specifically the mercy of the spiritual master. Right? And as I said, the mercy, Prabhupada is saying, is more important. Right? This misconception is there that we're doing it by our effort. Madhurya Kadambini Shila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says effort does attract mercy. Effort must be there to attract mercy. But the advancement, the effort, is different to the mercy. Right? If you're lifted up by someone, you can't say that you lifted yourself up. You called out to them, but they're the one who picked you up. Right? So we are always in that dependent mood. Right? That means, therefore, the understanding of the living entity is what? They are feminine. Right? Feminine means every single one of us, irrespective of the body that we have, we're dependent upon the Lord. And more specifically, we're dependent upon the mercy of the Lord. As it's distributed in Madhuri Kalabini, it says this: the Lord gives his mercy to his devotees to distribute upon his behalf, and the mercy of the devotee is not, the partiality of the devotee is not to be considered a fault. Think about these points very carefully. In that same purport, 8th canto, chapter 15, text number 8, Prabhupada explains that by the mercy of the spiritual master, one can gain extraordinary power. So when you see the devotees achieving something, you should know it's actually by the mercy of someone else. And if the devotee has that mentality, and this is why we're talking about this is what really opens minds, they'll always be humble. Because Sajjana Maharaj was explaining to me, he said, there's a science of how to hold the blessings. It's not automatic. Okay? Why is this important? Because otherwise, if devotees don't know the technicalities of how this works, you can be practicing devotional service for 20 or 30 years without necessarily the concomitant humility, and you've done so much service and you wonder why it's such a struggle. See, there's a difference between eating a meal and being nourished by the meal. You understand the point? You can eat some food and be full, but you're only nourished to the extent that your digestion is working, so you're able to take all the nutrients from what you're eating, right? The digestive system is the humility. Maharaj explained that. He said there's a science of how to hold the blessings. Right? So therefore, when we talk about Shikshashtakam, right, you look at this pastime, this is the Lord. If you think about it very carefully, what's going on? You have Lord Chaitanya, that means the all-powerful, supreme personality of Godhead who created everything. He is going to different temples and paying respects at those temples. Right? Those different, you know, those deities that he is paying respects to, they are non-different from him. Lord Ramachandra is non-different from Lord Chaitanya. Right? Different forms of the same Lord. Right? But he is taking a humble position, paying respects. He is setting the example. And in everything he does, it is done with perfect humility. Right? There's a science here. These are the technicalities of how Krishna consciousness actually works. Right? It's not that you do devotional service in any consciousness and you get the same result. That's actually not correct. Right? We hear again, third verse, Shikshashtakam, but we don't know why, the technicalities. When the devotional service is done with humility, then the blessings which are invoked, that you can actually hold them. There's a difference between spiritual benefit and spiritual strength. Right? If one performs devotional service, the credits will come. But if it's done in the proper consciousness, you become strong from it. And therefore, you see, for example, with Subhari Muni, right? He's performing austerities for a very long time in the water, but when he makes an offense, what happens? He loses his spiritual strength. He offends Garuda. Therefore, then after that offense, by seeing just two fish engaging in sex life, he becomes so disturbed that he has to go and get married to so many women. So the humility, and this is actually what is necessary to hold the blessings. So when you perform your devotional service, the mercy that you've invoked, the blessings that you've received, you can actually use them and to become strong. So in pilgrimage also, when we go to the devotees, this is what Prabhupada said, he emphasized that we go to the dhams, like Lord Chaitanya is going on pilgrimage to these holy places. We go there for the association of the pure devotees. But what do you do when you have such association? Right? You humble yourself before them so that whatever the blessings they give you, you can actually hold it. Right? Devotional service isn't like work. It's not that whoever puts in the most hours is actually going to make the most progress. Right? And that's why when we come to Krishna consciousness, you see that generally devotees advance very quickly, right, in the beginning. Why? Because there's no familiarity. They're very humble. In fact, they think everyone's a pure devotee. Right? And they respect everyone. And everything is very wonderful. Right? So actually what you'll see is, and this is another point, there's a speed of acceleration. Right? And when we become familiar, yeah, I've seen that bhakti, you know, he's always singing that kirtan that way and I'm just tired of hearing it. Right? Right? When we lose the humility, then your devotional progress slows down. because now, even though you may be doing more, you're getting less strength from it because you're less humble. You see how it works? We hear, oh, we should depend upon the mercy of Krishna. We should depend upon the mercy of the Vaishnavas. But do you know what the mercy of Krishna actually is? Right? Eighth Canto, chapter 15, text number 28. Prabhupada, he uses the term original spiritual power. Right? By getting the blessings of the Guru, one may be endowed with the original spiritual power coming directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Last sentence, 8th Canto, chapter 15, text number 28. So bear these points in mind. If one does not have the right consciousness, you actually don't make this progress that you could. And then you see sometimes, someone very humble moves very quickly. Someone else been around longer, not so humble, not going anywhere very fast. And when that continues, then you start to doubt, does this process actually work? I've been practicing 10, 20, 30 years. Well, nothing seems to be happening. I have the same weaknesses, the same problems. No? What is this Krishna consciousness? As an aside. Anyway, I'm going to do a seminar on it, but that's something to bear in mind. A few other points about this. Okay, so it's interesting here. It said here that on the request of Ravana's younger brother, Vibhisan, Lord Ramachandra destroyed the bridge to Lanka with his bow while returning to his capital. Now this is interesting. So again, a principle is here. That same Lord is being controlled by his devotees. Jnanavas Prabhu was making a very nice point. He said the reason why Krishna had become so disturbed at Vaishnavaparaya, he said it's because when Vaishnavaparaya is committed, the person who's committing it is trying to control the person or the people who Krishna himself agrees to come under the control of. And this is an illustration. It's Vibhishan, the devotee, he's asking the Lord, and on his request, the Lord destroys that bridge to Lanka. Right? It's very interesting. Right? Other theologies, you don't see this. Right? Other theologies, there is simply the Lord in awe and reverence at a great distance from humanity, right? Doing whatever he does, and everyone is just fearful, respectful, and bows down. When you come to Krishna consciousness, you have this divine science, but it's very different. Why? What's the difference? There are many differences, but one is that it's imbued with intimacy. It's imbued with intimacy. The Lord has this sweetness to him, has this deep desire to exchange in a very intimate way with his devotees. For Krishna, it's all about the devotee. For the devotee, it's all about Krishna. Right? And it gives Krishna joy to fulfill and to facilitate the desires of his devotee. He wants to please them, and he's experiencing this joy in pleasing them. So that's why Lord Chaitanya comes as, that's why Lord Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya. And in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says that that position of being the servant, he doesn't say it's greater, he says it's hundreds of thousands of millions of times superior. Right? Superior. In many cases where the conditioning of the living entity in this world is that I want to be the Lord, the Lord's desire is I want to be the servant. So very interesting. Right? So we have, by our eternal position, been given a superior position, but we don't understand it. We don't appreciate it. And so we're running away from a superior position and trying to take the Lord's position, and in that way suffering so much. Anyway, what time does class finish? 8:30? Okay, so I think we'll stop there for about 5 minutes and maybe the questions. Yes, rather than short for you.
Thank you very much, Guru, for nice class. You just had two questions if it's okay.
Sure. Guru will know the answer, you can ask him.
The first one's quite simple. If a devotee goes to Radha Kunda today and they don't manage to put themselves in the correct consciousness to achieve Krishna prema from bathing in Radha Kunda, will they still get some results? And what result will they get? Yeah.
There will always be purification, right? But the degree will be based upon two things. One is the blessings of those who are there, and the other is the consciousness of the individual. These two things are essential. Right? We can do our part by bathing in the best consciousness, which is one of the things that knowledge does, actually. Right? There are many statements by Prabhupada, how devotional service in the mode of goodness, that's devotional service done in knowledge, is more powerful. If you know what's going on, you actually know what's going on, you know what you're actually doing in this science of Krishna consciousness, you get more from it. You actually get more from it. Right? That is why the hearing, associating, serving is so powerful. So one aspect is, yeah, we should do it in the proper consciousness. This is Radhakund. This is the most sacred place in the universe. When we were in Mayapur recently, so we took a group on retreat, so we took them to see Bhakti Charamaj, and I asked him, please could you explain about the significance of the Dharma and what our mood should be when we are here. And he made a very wonderful point. So this Dharma, even how it may look externally, this is none different from the spiritual world, it's an extension of the spiritual world. And we should come here, he said, leave aside the material side, the material part, the external part, right? And you should consider the spiritual part. Right? And one should hear, serve in a humble and sincere mood. Right? Serve the devotees in order to gain that. Right? Now, I'll tell you something else. One of the first people we also went to visit in this trip, and it was interesting because there were certain results that came from it. We also spoke to Pankajangri, and he made the point, he said, the Dharma wants to give you mercy. Right? He said that to us. He said, the Dharma wants to give you mercy. So I said to him, because this relates to the whole idea of pilgrimage and visiting holy places. He said, and I said, what can we do to take advantage of the mercy? He said, just understand this point so that when the mercy comes, you'll be able to recognize it. That's what he said. Right? So this is the mentality that we have to have. And to that degree, blessings of those devotees who are there, right? And the Dharma itself has kripa. The Dharma itself can give mercy. And by being receptive, by doing things in the right consciousness, to that degree you get the most benefit. And it's not just for the Dharma in terms of Mayapur, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri. Actually, that relates to every single facet of devotional service. Every single facet. The consciousness is not a side issue for our advancement, right? It actually underpins the acceleration and the quality of not just your own personal advancement in terms of from Shraddha to Prema, right? But also in terms of the impact of your service. Right? Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. And
your second
just,
question?
Just aside from when you said blessings of those who are there, does that mean, say, if you're going to bathe in a certain lake or go to Holy Dock and you're traveling with a senior devotee, like, you know, one of the sannyasis and all?
Yes. Yeah, it means actually all devotees. This is a good thing you brought this up. Yeah. So there's a when we talk about blessings, Marge was explaining to me on the coach, he said that blessings come from above to below, right? And it's important to understand. We have a Western culture where we don't like authority. Right? We don't accept authority. Like, you know, why who's he to tell me what to do? You know, like that. Right? But actually the authorities, if they're pleased with you, you make more advancement. It's a science. You can study that. Right? You can study that. Anyway, I'll give you quotes and give you some references. There, if your seniors bless you, you can make advancement fast. At the same time, there is something like a blessing that can come from peers and juniors. It's not considered technically to be a blessing, but the well wishes of the Vaishnavas. Right? If the devotees are pleased with you, again, you advance fast. Right? And specifically, as I said before, that does more for you moving forward than your own effort. Right? This is what is meant. These are the subtleties in devotional life. Whether we like it or not, we are actually dependent upon other people. We may think, I'm pulling lots of effort in, if other people aren't, it doesn't matter, I'm getting it. No, you're not getting it. If they're not pleased, right? If your guru isn't pleased with you, you're in trouble. I think it's 6th canto, chapter 7, text number 23, in the purple. Prabhupada makes the point that by pleasing the spiritual master, one can create great power or strength, and if the spiritual master is displeased, it goes down. In that place, it's being explained why the demons become so powerful that they can take away Lord Brahma's kingdom. Right? So it's explained that because the demons worship their guru, Sukracharya, with great devotion, they became so extraordinarily powerful that they could easily overcome Lord Brahma's abode. And in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that normally the demons are nothing to Lord Brahma. But by their worship of their guru, they were able to do that. You know? So please always bear these points in mind. It's not that being pleasing devotees is a side issue. It's all about my own strength. That's still a subtle contamination of I am the doer, right? It's still a subtle contamination of I am the doer. Actually, if they're happy with you, they just have to think well of you. Krishna, he will immediately reciprocate. If your guru is pleased with you, he just has to think well of you. Immediately, there'll be reciprocation. And at the same time, if you're humble, then you can hold it. To that extent, you can hold it. Does that make sense?
So you're going to bathe in that means on that day.
All the devotees, those you associate, those who are there, those who are seen, those who are not seen, those who reside there, those you've come with, all of those, they are potent. You see, this is the point. There's no one actually more powerful on this planet or in creation than the Vaishnavas. I remember hearing this statement by Prabhupada. There's a video. They asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so powerful, why didn't he spread the movement all over the world himself? And then Prabhupada makes a statement, he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's Vaishnava, he's all powerful, right? He says that, right? And he sometimes would explain that he could spread the movement, this entire movement, by himself, but he felt compassionate for us, so he left some service for us to do, right? And then you can think, well, it's a mission impossible, right? How are we going to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? No, it's a mission impossible for us. And to the extent that we think it's down to our own strength, yes, it will be a mission impossible. Because as the false ego is in charge and I'm thinking it's me, you won't be able to fully access that mercy to do it. But by Krishna's mercy, you can do anything. That's the fine point when Prabhupada says impossible is a word in the false dictionary, right? Sometimes before you think, well, it sounds a bit sentimental, right? Practically, how's that going to happen? No. But if you're very humble, the amount of potency you get from the blessings of the guru and the parampara, it can do everything easily. Right? First Canto, chapter 15, text number 5, there's a purport where Prabhupada is speaking about Arjuna's extraordinary power to kill all these warriors on the battlefield, right? And it's in the purport, he talks about how the extraordinary power that Arjuna was given to fight, he used the term emergency powers. They were meant for that service, and once the service was done, it was all withdrawn because it was no longer necessary. Right? That's actually how it's working. There's nothing more powerful than the Vaishnavas in respect to your own personal spiritual advancement and in respect to the ability to spread this movement. And wherever you see devotees getting extraordinary results, they're empowered. That means, empowerment means they've received blessings from other devotees and they've been humble, respectful and had enough faith to actually hold it. It's a science. If we need to learn that science, and if we do it, our spiritual life will go through the roof. Does that answer your question? Because you asked about whose blessings, that's the blessings of all those devotees.
Yeah. But also, is it when he says, you said there's two things, blessings of consciousness.
Yes.
So would that mean blessings of the devotees you with and meet on the day, or like all the time?
All the time. Before, after. See, even the blessings, often you'll see that there's some pastime. I was listening to, there's a pastime in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. I can't remember the names, but I'll just give you the point. So there's one devotee and, you know, he received some good, great association, but he couldn't take full advantage of it. But the person who was speaking to him saw that I've spoken to him, but he's still not at such a high level of advancement. But the person blessed him, so he would meet another great devotee later on who would help take him further forward. Right? And you see, for example, in the pastime of the Radha Muni, Nalukuvera, Mani Griva, they were offensive, right? And he saw that these people were very degraded, but he blessed them. He cursed them, but Prabhupada says the devotees curse and their blessing are non-different. Right? So because of his blessing, they were able to be liberated by Lord Krishna's coming later on. Do you see the point? So even what we get to is still a mercy case. You see how it works. So those are pastimes to substantiate that point. But I've gone over time, so I'm going to have to stop there. Anyway, something to consider. Thank you for your time. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Guru Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nitya Gaur Premanandini.
Grace with Prabhupada ki jai.